have accrued up until now. Let's say you're a state worker and you're 50 and you're looking to retire at the age of 55. You've accrued certain rights. Those are yours by contract and probably by constitution. You ought to keep them. But if we were to reform these plans prospectively so that in the future the rights would get feathered down, the accruals would get feathered down, the age of retirement related to those accruals would be increased to something more normal like 65 or Social Security age 67. If we shifted to defined contribution plans for the future, that would be the easiest and cleanest. The business sector, many of you are in business, you know that in the private sector, firms that maintain these sorts of retirement plans have shifted over to defined contribution over the last 30 years because they had to. Economy forced them to, competition forced them to, the risks of carrying the old defined benefit plans were too great, so they've shifted. And nobody thought that they were violating anybody's contracts when they did it. So we think it's pretty clear you can, as long as you protect people's rights accrued to the point of change, feather these down in the future. And if you did, you could reduce that $80 billion of unfunded liability estimate down by about $25 billion, down to 50 to 55, depending on how you did it. That still leaves a huge problem, and there's no getting around it. And if we want to fix that problem after reforming the pensions, we're going to have to fund them. And funding it means only one of two things. Take the money from someplace else, like universities, like social service agencies, or raise taxes to pay for it. A 1 percentage point increase in the income tax generates about $3 billion a year. We're looking right now at a hole, embedded hole, of about $14 to $15 billion a year. If we do this strictly with revenues and not with reforms and not with cuts, put that to one side, but just tax increase, and if we did it strictly with the personal income tax, what that would equate to would be an increase in the income tax from about three to about eight. Now, as you heard, there are other ways to get at this. You can broaden the sales tax base. You can apply income taxes to retirement income. There's other ways to get at it. But the message I'm trying to convey here is that not that this is a serious problem, because everybody in the room knew it was serious before you came today. And when I talk to people in Chicago, they all know it's serious. What they don't know is how serious it is and how dangerous it is. That's the message. Why is it dangerous? Because of two things. The crowd-out effect, which is going to hurt everything that all of us in this room care about, including the university. And because if we don't deal with the problem by reforming the pensions and then funding them properly, they're going to bust. They're going to crash. The estimates are, unless things change, the first ones at the state level could go under within about 9 to 10 years. There's at least one fund in Chicago, big one, that could go under in about the same period of time, depending on how the assets perform. Nobody knows for sure. But those unfunded liabilities are going up 8.5% a year because the discount rate reverses. There's nothing that they depend on. They are going up 8.5%. So what happens? If a pension fund goes under, people will have perfectly good claims against an empty bag. Probably the state is not liable for those unfunded obligations. That's the better view, I think, of the statutes. And even if it were, it doesn't have any money. And the state is a sovereign, and if you want to go sue the state on a contract claim, go to the Court of Claims and file your claim, and the maximum award is $5,000. And then the state has to authorize payment, which it doesn't have to do. So that's the mess that we're trying to avoid. What we're trying to do is save the pension system and avoid the train wreck. But nobody should underestimate how serious this is, and as you think about your duty, as you have to do to the university and how to protect it in this environment, it is a very difficult environment, and there is no way to avoid pain. I wish the message were otherwise. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you very much, Eden. Questions, comments? Sobering. No questions?
Eden, what would you suggest is the chance that the state will be able to increase their funding for the University of Illinois next year?
Zero. Well, I shouldn't jump too quickly. There will be, I will say maybe one, two. There will be pressure in the new legislative session to increase taxes. Governor says 1%. 1% doesn't even scratch the surface of this problem. If all we did was raise taxes 1%, we're still deeply in the hole, and a lot of organizations that are politically more muscular than you are would have their hands in that bag a lot quicker than you would. But if there were a very large income tax increase, I would hope the University of Illinois and the other educational institutions would get their share. But it's a guess as to how that political calculus would work out, and I don't know. What we're trying to do, honestly, is to wedge pension reform and cost cutting generally and the need for a balanced budget into that conversation. We're not saying never have a tax increase. What we're saying is don't just rely on the tax side of the equation. Deal with the reforms to the pension system, which is why we've got this enormous problem today. Deal with it now. It would be very controversial. The unions would hate it. If you took a vote in Springfield today, we'd lose. But, you know, we're trying to argue for something that's very important and might save the state from catastrophe. If we could get the reforms and the cuts in a serious way, I think a lot of people would look much more favorably on the kind of tax increase that would help dig us out of this hole. And if that happens, then it will be a matter of political arm wrestling over how much you get. You've got a lot of friends. You've got a lot of alumni. You've got a well-organized a group within Illinois that gets in touch with the legislatures when you ask them to. So maybe my zero is too pessimistic, but there's a lot of people standing in that line.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Can you give me an example of what kind of reform you would suggest for the pension refund?
Sure. Let's take government employees who can retire at 55 today with a full pension. If they're retired, they keep it. If they're 54, they keep everything that they've accrued. But if they're 20, they keep everything that they've accrued. But going forward, let's change the deal so that in the future they get to participate in a defined contribution plan that takes the risk out of this from a state standpoint. If that can't be politically sold, then a hybrid plan or even a defined benefit plan with less favorable terms. And the key term is you can't retire at 55 anymore and get a full and reduced pension. That doesn't work in the private sector anymore, and it's not practical from the standpoint of the state. So going forward, those future benefits that you would accrue over the next 20 or 30 years, you would get unreduced if you retire at 65, 66, whatever the legislature determines. The bill that you have talked about and heard discussed, applicable to new employees, does that, but as to new employees. Therefore, it doesn't reduce the unfunded liability by a dime. But if that kind of reform were applied prospectively to current employees, then you could make real savings, roughly $25 billion off the liability for the pensions, and maybe reduce the unfunded medical by as much as 50%.
Hate to cut off questions. Eden, thank you very much. Appreciate your perspective.
Thank you.
Now, after those two presentations of perspective, Walter Knorr will come up and talk about the budget for the current year and the future year. Walter?
Hey, Ed, next time you have a committee report, you want me to pass out antidepressant medication?
That probably helped. Yeah. Antidepressant?
Legal antidepressant. Bring my prescription.
I'm telling you.
Well, with the wind at my back from those two presentations, I'd like to talk about the go back to the cover slide. And by the way, I do want to thank Dr. Merriman and Eden Martin again. Those were very, very good and precise presentations. It's a difficult climate. I have titled the budget slide for 2011 just FY 2011 budget. But if I would have a subtitle, it would be budgeting in very uncertain times. You know, for the title for this. For this presentation, couple of just to set this up, a couple of facts with regard to what's going on with regard to the current account with the state of Illinois. When last we met on July the 22nd, after that meeting, at that date, the state of Illinois owed us on July the 22nd owed us $270 million from the FY10. Budget from the FY10 appropriation. They owed us over a third of the appropriation. At the end of that meeting, President Hogan and I got on the phone with Controller Hines and essentially asked him for consideration for additional funding to please remember the University of Illinois. And Controller Hines did say that he was going to take from the state's FY11 cash flow borrowing $150 million.